Good. It's okay.
He came from Morocco.
Oh.
I wonder if he had the Rafael El Malay.
Last week we learned the Gemara Kuf Beis on the base, about 15 lines from the bottom, where the Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Shkolim that every year they have to collect Machzah Shekel in order to fund the purchase of the Korbanos Tzibur. If one person puts up $10 million to cover the expense of all the Korbanos, so the Mishnah says, you're not Yoitze. Korbanos Tzibur have to be Davka for Machzah Shekel money. So it says when they go in to three times a year, they go in 2 weeks before Pesach, 2 weeks before Shavuos, 2 weeks before Sukkot, and when they go in to take out three sacks of money, to use that money to buy all the Korbanos Tzibur for that third of the year, so they shouldn't wear clothing that has pockets or that has a cuff in the bottom or that has a hem. So no one should be choshed them that they're walking off with some of the money, they're pocketing some of the money. So the Mishnah in Shkolim develops this idea of chashoda. We call it marisayin, two different kinds of marisayin. That's what the Achranim point out. There's one kind of marisayin, let's say there's a restaurant that has a shvacha hashgocha. So I'm going to go into the restaurant to buy a Coca-Cola. But people may think, oh, if a rabbi is going into the restaurant, it probably means that it's kosher. So that's one kind of marisayin. People misunderstand why I'm going into the restaurant. I may be misleading some people. There's a din lifnei iver l'sitei mikshol. So if I tell them on a tray for a restaurant, I tell the people you can eat here, that's lifnei iver. Here, I didn't tell them you can eat here. I'm just going in to buy Coca-Cola to use the restaurant, something else. But it's lifnei iver, sort of b'shevi al tasa. It's not lifnei iver b'kum b'yaseh. Just by going in for my own purposes, I may be misleading some people into thinking that the hashgach is a good hashgach. And then there's another din of lifnei iver. It's called chashada. That's what Rashi quotes over here. That's based on the Yisim Nikim, Hashem, and Yisrael. That it's a trefer restaurant. There's no two ways about it. Everyone knows it's a trefer restaurant. So if I go in, people may think that I'm a hypocrite. Look, he makes believe that he's so religious. He's a rabbi, and he makes believe he's so medactic, and then he goes and eats in a trefer restaurant. So that's these are two different dinim of marisayin. Sometimes marisayin is also because it mislead other people into thinking that it's something is mutter, which is really not mutter. And sometimes the people will be misled into believing that you're doing an avera. Rav Soloveitchik told over that he had printed a story about the Chofetz Chaim, that on one occasion he was traveling in the train, and then there was someone in the same cabin with him. So he asked him, where are you going? So the Chofetz Chaim said, he's going to Radin. So the Balabas asked him, do you know the holy tzaddik Ador, the Chofetz Chaim? So he said, he felt very uncomfortable. What's he going to say? That's me. So he said, yeah, he knows him. So he said, oh, the Balabas had never met the Chofetz Chaim. He didn't realize that that was the Chofetz Chaim. So he said, they say this about him. That's such a big Talmid Chachma, such a tzaddik. And every time this Balabas said something, so the Chofetz Chaim felt so uncomfortable, he kept knocking everything down. So the Balabas insulted him. So he said, why are you mevaza the Talmid Chachma? Why are you mevaza the Chofetz Chaim? So he didn't know how to get out of this mess. So when he came to Radin, so he ran off of the train as soon as he could, and he went home. So that evening, he went to Davin in the Beis Medrash, in his yeshiva, down the block from where he lived. So the Balabas also davened in the same Beis Medrash. And then the Chofetz Chaim walked up to the front, and he davened by his shtender. So this Balabas realized that man on the train was a Chofetz Chaim. So he went and he apologized to him why he was mevazah him, why he insulted him, why he was mevazah the Chofetz Chaim. So the Chofetz Chaim said, I wrote so many swarm, I wrote so much about Lashon Hara, I forgot to write such an obvious din. One is not permitted to say Lashon Hara even against himself. So Rav Soloveitchik said, that's the din of Marisayin, that you are not the balabos of your own reputation. You have no right to ruin your own reputation. If everybody considers you a tzaddik and you're going to go to buy a Coca-Cola in a Trefa restaurant, people are going to think that you're a hypocrite. So that's an isa, that's an isa loshen hara against yourself. So the Gemara talks in different places. The Gemara in Beitza has a lot, and Shabbos, other places. The Gemara talks about kol davashos hachacham emushum marisayin afilu b'chadri chadorim osir. Even though the marisayin is only osir, the whole idea of marisayin, people are going to see what you're doing, and they're going to misunderstand it. They're going to think you're doing an aveira, or they're going to think that it's mutar to eat this shvacha hashgacha. So l'chora, the whole issue should only be when other people are watching. When no one is watching, when no one's around, so there shouldn't be any problem on marisayin. So nonetheless, the Gemara has a machlekes, and the generally accepted opinion is afilu b'chadri chadorim, even if no one is watching, also it's not permissible. So there's a big machlekes in Achrenim. How do you understand that statement? Kol davar she'asa chachamim mishum marisayin afilu b'chadri chadorim. So some Achrenim are very lenient, and they say only davar she'asa chachamim mishum marisayin. What the rabbi singled out in the Talmud, in the Mishnayos or the Brises, whatever was singled out, for example, the Gemara says you're not allowed to hang up wet laundry on Shabbos, even though you washed all the laundry on Erev Shabbos, but you didn't hang it up on the clothesline to dry until the middle of Shabbos. So you're not allowed to hang it up because people, Marisayin people, will think that you washed the clothing on Shabbos. They'll think that you violated, that's one of the lamentas malachas on Shabbos, is malabing to wash dirty clothing. So the Gemara says, even if there's nobody else there, you're all alone on a desert island, also you're not allowed to hang up the laundry on Shabbos. Kol davar she'asa chachamim mishum marisayin. Oh, the Gemara has, you're not allowed to take a big ladder on Yom Tov if you have an Erev, so you're allowed to, or even if you don't have an Erev, you have to get something in a high location. So you should have been permitted to carry a tool out in order to get something in a high spot. So the Gemara says that they prohibited using a painter's ladder, lest people would think that he's going to paint or he's going to use this tall ladder to bang a nail in and to do some kind of a malacha, which you usually do if you have a little ladder that's just to take groceries, to take svarim from a high up shelf. So that's not, there's no marisayin there. But it's a big ladder that you usually use for painting or for fixing a broken cabinet or something. So that you're not allowed to use a ladder on Yom Tov. And even if no one else is watching, called davar she'asa chachamim marisayin afilu b'chadri chadorim osir. So some achrayim are very lenient, so they say the Gemara's lashon is called davar she'asa chachamim. Whatever the rabbi singled out is osir mishum marisayin is osir. Whatever they didn't single out is mutter. You don't have to make up. You don't have to be concerned about your own marisayin. You don't have to invent new marisayin. Whatever they didn't prohibit is mutter. Others hold fakir. No, marisayin are posig and chumish. We eat in the kiyum and me'ashem and me'israel. The Mishnah in Shkolin quotes that pasuk. The pasuk doesn't really mean that. The pasuk is in the context of Bnei Godim Neruv and the Chatzis Shevet HaMenashe, that they requested, they wanted to get Eivir Hayag, instead of everybody getting a bar of Eretz across, dividing all of Eretz across like this, they said they have so much sheep, they could really use Eivir Hayag where it's grazing area. So the whole plan was changed. Instead of everybody getting part of Eretz Yisrael, part of grazing land, they only got grazing land. And other people only got Eretz Yisrael because they didn't have an issue. So the whole plan was changed. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, originally they said when they requested, they didn't want to go in Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ko yasu avaseichem, that's what your ancestors did. They didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael, and then they were punished and they had to spend 40 years in the Midbar. And you don't want to go to Eretz Yisrael, that's terrible. So they said, no, they'll help out in the war effort. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hachech mi'etzalah mecham v'atem teish v'po, is that fear? So they said, no, they'll help out in the war effort. Bin Adam l'chaveira. And bin Adam l'amokim, they'll keep all the mitzvot li'ez ba'aretz and every yard and also. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, they should help in the war. V'yisim nikim, Hashem and Yisrael. They'll be yotzei the shibud to Bnei Yisrael to help them in the war effort. And there'll be yotz in the mitzvah kibush eretz yisrael klap yakodesh bocha. The pasuk doesn't really pshutush on mikra, doesn't really talk about marisayin, but that's what the mishnah takes. Either it's a din mid the rabbanon, or al pi pashtas we assume it's a din mid ha-torah marisayin. So Gemara has an additional level of interpretation in the pasuk. Nikim Hashem and Israel. It's not sufficient if you nikim Hashem. You know that you're doing something that's mutter. You're not doing anything wrong. That's not enough. It has to be that people shouldn't be choshed you. You shouldn't do something that would lead to chashad. People would think that you're a hypocrite, that you're violating mitzvahs. So some achrayim are of the opinion, whatever the chachamim didn't single out as maris hayin is mutter. Others say, what do you mean? So pasuk, it's a dimin haTorah. V'yisim nikim Hashem Yisrael. All maris hayin is awesome. And then they say, anything that's awesome, any case that's awesome, shu maris hayin, is also awesome b'chad v'chador. So the marshal, in Yeridaya, in the second chelik, the beginning of the second chelik Yeridaya, you have the dinam of Avodah Zarah, and then you have the dinam of Stam Yenam. So in the middle of Hilchas Stam Yenam, the Shulchan Aruch puts a lot of the dinam, most of the dinam of Erechad Nehem B'Yisrael. You have in the beginning of Hilchas Shechita, in the beginning of the first chelik Yeridaya, that the Shechet is believed to say that he shechted properly, Erechad Nehem B'Yisrael, and then you have in the beginning of the second chelik Yeridaya, in Hilchas Stam Yenam, because the Gemara in Gittin, and the Sugyan HaNizokin has a lot of details about Erech and Em Yisum in the context of somebody tells another person this Nasi Chenecha. Because the Gemara has it in the context of Stam Yenom and Stam Yayin Esau, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes it also like that. The Rambam took all the Gemaras and he put them in order, and then the Shulchan Aruch put it back out of order. Shulchan Aruch put everything in the same order that it appears in the Gemara, so you have to be a Baki in order to know where to find something in the Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam, you don't have to be such a genius. You just look where logically where the din ought to be, and then you'll find it there. But in the Shulchan Aruch, you have to know what context did the Gemara write about Erech and Em Yisrael. That's why you find it in Shulchan Aruch. Okay. So there they have the following din. Let's say an Erechot says, I'm a Shechet, I shechted this behemoth, I know the flesh is kosher, everybody can eat it. And then two Edom testify, he's lying. He's really telling the truth. Two Edom say he's lying. It's an Avela. A goy slaughtered the animal. No one's allowed to eat it. So the Sheikhet knows that they're lying, but he's not allowed to eat the flesh because of Maris Ayin. Because the public is supposed to believe the two Edom. Ain't Rav Shalechem and Malkim Shlaim. It's 2-1. So they have to. The Tzibur has to believe what the two Edom say. So it says that the Sheikhet is not allowed to eat the flesh Mishum Maris Ayin. People will think that he's telling a lie. And then the Pizchei Tshuva quotes an opinion that even when no one's watching, he's also not allowed to eat the flesh that he knows that it's kosher. He shechted it. He knows that he shechted it properly. Because called Avashas Chacham Shem Marasayin, Afir B'chad V'chad Dormos. Whatever is also because of Marasayin, it's also even if no one is watching. So these are two extreme opinions that the Achrayim have. One opinion is called Avashas Chacham Shem Marasayin. Whatever was not singled out by the Gemara, you don't have to worry about Marasayin. That's very difficult. They're assuming Marasayin is only the Rabbanim. Whatever the Chachamim didn't prohibit, we're not mechuyev to make new gzeris. The other sheet is, no, Marasayin is an Issa deraisa. Any case that there's a concern of Marasayin, afil b'chad v'chad dorim osur, even if the Gemara didn't mention it. And the middle sheet, that's the Rav Soloveitchik thought, the middle sheet makes more sense. Marasayin is a real din deraisa, but it's only by medvar mamur, if people are watching. No one is watching. Then there's no Issa Marasayin. But if the Chachamim singled it out, if the Tanoim and the Mishnah and the Brice is singled out, you're not allowed to hang out wet laundry on Shabbos. So that becomes an Issa even if no one is watching. Whenever it's Dovach Shasu Chachamim Mishnah Marasayin, if the Tanoim singled it out, so they declared that as an Issa. So then you're not allowed to do it even if no one is watching. But if they didn't single it out as an Issa, so then you play it by ear. Whenever there's Marasayin, you're not allowed to do it. Whenever there's no Marasayin, you are allowed to do it. That's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say when they first started years ago. You could tell which families were Orthodox by the Jewish people, which families were observant, which families were not observant. Whoever left the lights on Friday night obviously is not Orthodox, because they're not going to turn off the lights and they're not going to leave the lights on all night. An Orthodox Jew is not going to turn the lights off. But he's not going to leave the lights on all night either. It's going to cost him a fortune. Electricity was very expensive years ago. They're not going to leave the lights on the whole night. So then they started with Shabbos clocks. So Rav Soloveitchik taught that the first couple of years that people were using Shabbos clocks lights were going on and going off, there was really an issue of Marasayin. So the first people who used the Shabbos clocks were probably in violation of the din of Marasayin. But then after a couple of years that people, it became public knowledge that people use a Shabbos clock, so then it became mutter. It's not a davar she'asa chachamim. The chachamim didn't prohibit use of a Shabbos clock. And when they first came out with Shabbos clocks, there was clearly an issue of marasayim. But after a couple of years, no more issue. No issue. So it's like chadr chadar. If there's no marasayim, there's no marasayim. Whatever they singled out, whatever the Tanoim singled out as an issur, so that remains usur even if chadr chadar. So this Techemen has a lot about this. He talks about the two different kinds of marasayim, the chashode and the lifne iver. And then he has the three shittas about when do you apply, when do you not apply, called Abishasa Chachamim Shemarasayim Afil Bechadr Chador Mos. So they should thought that the middle shita was the Iker. Middle shita, whatever, also Chachamim, then even Chadr Chador Mos also. Because they declared it as an Issa. Whenever they didn't single it out, so then you figure out on your own. Whenever there's an Isha Marasayim, you shouldn't do it. Whenever no one's watching, so then there's no Marasayim, so then there should be Mutter. So that we learned last week, that's the Gemara quotes about 15 lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah from Shkolim. The Mishnah has a lot of examples of Marasayim in the Mishnah and Shkolim. Then we learned the din of Nilas Hasandala Zasa Yom Kippur, if you walk with the shoes. That's what it seems to say in the Braisa. If you don't walk with the shoes, let's say a person is laying in bed all day on Yom Kippur, he's not feeling well, so he can wear shoes also. That's not Nilas HaSandal. Nilas HaSandal is an Issa. If you're walking wearing leather shoes, that's Nilas HaSandal. Just to wear a shoe and not to walk with it, not to use it, that doesn't seem to be an Issa. And then we learned in Gemara that it's one issue, Nilas HaSandal on Yom Kippur, Nilas HaSandal on Tisha B'Av. On Tisha B'Av, Nilas HaSandal lo zasa, and during Shiva, Nilas HaSandal lo zasa. So Tisha B'Av, you're not allowed to have Nilas HaSandal for the same reason of Avelus. Kol Dover HaNoigin, Kol Adorim HaNoigin B'Av, HaNoigin B'Tisha B'Av. That's a brisa the Gemara has the end of Masechus, Tainus. That you have to observe Avelus on Tisha B'Av. And Yom Kippur, one doesn't observe Avelus. Nilas HaSandal is also because in Nitzim Esnav Shesechim, the Chamish Inuim. That's a mitzvah. But the Gemara says if you wear, let's say, you wrap your feet around with comfortable socks in order to protect your feet, but you didn't put any leather shoes on. So then the Gemara says, even though there's tainug, there's no issa. Abai suggested, since it's comfortable, if the ispe ketisa, if you're going to wear sneakers that have a lining and it's comfortable, it's us on Yom Kippur because of tainug. And we don't accept Abai's opinion. We hold like Rava. Tainug is mutter on Yom Kippur. Only the hamishin nuyim arosa. And if you paskin benolach tochash based on that pasuk in Yecheskel, that it's only called a nal if it's made from leather. It's not made from leather, it's not a nal. Then it's mutter on Yom Kippur. So the Gemara had all the dinim. Nidach is handel for Yom Kippur, for Tisha B'Av, for Shiva, and the Shaila v'cholza nala me'al ragloi on Chalitza. All four cases are governed with this one machlokes Reb Meir Nachachamim. We left off in the middle, we're going to continue. What do you learn out from Enolech Tochash? Tochash was an animal, a kosher animal that existed in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara says it doesn't exist anymore, so we can't look at it, but we know for sure that it must have been, had the Malagir Mafis Parsa, because it cannot be that they used Oris Techoshim for the Mishkan. It can't be Luhukshul Malach Shamayim Alor Behemetor Bilvat. If they used it for the Mishkan, it must be that it was a kosher animal. Fine, so it was a kosher animal. And the Pasuk in Yecheskel says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Shichalach for the little baby. Little baby is a mashal for Klal Yisrael. It made little shoes for the baby from Oris Techoshim. So the Chachamim hold, you learn out from that pasuk that unless the shoe is made from leather, it's not called a shoe. So in all the four cases, and Rameir disagrees, he says, whatever is Megan, whatever is meted to Megan. So socks are not Megan, but if you wear a pair of sneakers, according to Rameir, that would be also a wooden pair of shoes, other kinds of shoes. Okay, so that was the Machlokes HaTanoim that we left off in the middle of that din. So how far do we go? So we got about, let's see, was it six lines from the top? Six lines from the top of Kuv Gimel Amud Aleph. Okay. Yeah, the top Taisus has a discussion, they just quote the Gemara, it's important to know. when somebody dies and you have to rip kriya, so the Gemara learns that from a pasuk that you have to rip kriya in a standing position, and the Gemara says if a person rip kriya be yeshiva, he's not even yotze b'diyeh, but he has to stand up and rip kriya again. The Gemara tells a story that one of the Amoraim's father-in-law passed away, so he ripped kriya. He was sitting and he ripped kriya, then he realized he ripped kriya sitting. You have to say he stood up and he ripped kriya a second time. Then he realized he made a mistake the second time, because he only ripped kriya in the his wife's father died. It wasn't his relative. So you have to rip kriya in the presence of the wife. So he ripped kriya a third time in the presence of the wife. Yeah, we don't observe that din. We have in the days of the Gemara there was such a din. Kol she mesablim ala mesablim ima. If the wife would die, the husband would have to observe avelus for the wife. So when the wife's parent dies, so the husband has to observe avelus with the wife. Kol she mesablim ala mesablim ima. One has to observe avelus with the spouse if a parent died. Or if a grandchild died, let's say, so the father of the child has to observe avelus. The grandfather does not have to observe avelus, but if he's in the presence of the son, since the grandfather would have to observe avelus for his son if the son would die. So when his son dies, the grandfather has to observe avelus if he's in the presence of the son. That's a din in the Gemara in the Moed Katan. So in Shulchan Aruch says we don't observe that din anymore. We assume that that. In Shulchan Aruch, they have such a minig. Up until Shabbos, you do observe it, and after Shabbos, you don't. Yeah, but we don't even have that. Some of the yekkes still observe like that. Till Shabbos, they do observe. Yeah. But we don't even have that. Because in Shulchan Aruch, they assume, they quote the Rishonim, that whole din kolshin mesablim alav, mesablim imo, that's all mishum kvodo shel ha'ovel. But we assume today all the avelim are moichel and they're covered and they don't need it. They don't need that the husband should, or that the parent should sit shiva with them when they're sitting shiva for a child or for their parent. So we assume the whole thing is a mishum kvodu shalavil and all the avelim are moichel and they're covered. So the Gemara tells that story that the person ripped kriya first three times. First he ripped kriya the yeshiva, and then he realized he made a mistake. He stood up and he ripped kriya tzveitamo. Then realizing that he didn't do it right, he had to wait till it was his grandson who died or his father-in-law who died. So he ripped kriya a third time when the son or when the other person, when the korev came in. So the Tosis quotes that Gemara that Amida is ma'akeh by ripping kriya. The Gemara learns it out from a pasuk. But over here, Amida is not ma'akeh. By chalitza, that's the top line. The Gemara quotes a braisa. That you can do chalitza even in a sitting position. And l'chatchila, the Rishonim also says, l'chatchila we treat, since you need a bezdin, and whoever appears in front of bezdin has to be ba'amida. The edim who testify have to be ba'amida. And the baledinim who present their arguments have to be ba'amida. That's the pasuk. V'yom d'shnei ha'noshem ha'shelohem ha'riv lifnei Hashem. So the Gemara says, V'yom d'shnei ha'noshem refers to elu edim. Ashelahem Harib refers to the Balidinim. You read it as if it were written Va'ashelahem Harib. Yom Dushnei Anoshim. The two Edom have to be Bamid in the presence of the Bezin, out of respect for the Bezin, out of Kavod HaTorah. Va'ashelahem Harib, the Balidinim have to stand. And Lifnei Hashem means that in the presence of the Dayanim, Elokim Nitzah Badas Kel. You assume that if it's an honest to goodness Bezin, then they'll have a Siyai to the Shmaya, not to make a mistake in the Psak. Elokim Nitzah Badas Kel. So that's the mokra that the Dayanim have to be Yeshiva and the Balidinim and the Edim have to be Bamida. So here, since Chalitza requires a Bezin Le'ikuvah, you need a Bezin Le'ikuvah. If you do the Chalitza Ben Ola Ben O, it's not Mata Divam Al Ashok. You have to have at least a Bezin of three. The Chatchila, we require a Bezin of five, Mishum Pirsume, Mishum Pirsum. But the five is not Me'akev, but the three are Me'akev. So since you need a bezin, so really more correct is that the Ovam and the Yavam should stand in the presence of the bezin. So it's hard, that's what the Rishonim say, it's hard to stand the whole time when she's taking off the shoe. So some Rishonim had a meaning that she sits when she takes off the shoe. Others, the practice days that she stands. The Ovam and the Yavam, they both stand when they do the chalitz. So that's l'chatchila. But over here it says, Amida is not miyakev, but Amida by ripping kriya, that the Gemara, that's what Taisa quotes the Gemara, that is miyakev. Now we saw the Braisa, chaletzes menakot nechalitzas of silver, we mentioned, that's a machlokes hatanoim. The cotton before bar mitzvah, if the man who died leaving no children, and his amana needs chalitza, so if he has a younger brother who is not yet bar mitzvah, so the younger brother cannot perform chalitza, because the pasuk says kochi yosa leish, v'shal yivnes beisachim, so we darshan ish prat the cotton, ish a lot of times you darshan ish prat the isha, sometimes ish prat the cotton. So here we assume that a cotton cannot do chalitza. So if the cotton does chalitza, it's not matter the ivam alashub. So there's a machlokes hatanaim. Do we consider it a chalitza psula? So it is a chalitza lechumre. So once the cotton did chalitza, none of the brothers are allowed to do ivam. But he says it's garnish mit garnish. So this tana and this brisa holds chalitza. It's been a cotton chalitza so psula. It's a chalitza psula, and we don't paskan like that. We paskan chalitza men a cotton is a loiklum. It's not even like a reach I get. It's not even a chalitza luchum. It's a garnish mit garnish. Okay. So that's what we're up to. The sixth line from the top. So Gemara, that's the end of the brayso chalitza manakot and chalitza subsula. Period. Now comes a caption from the brayso. The brayso says kav hakiteya. The person is missing the bottom of his foot. So they put in a wooden foot. So the wooden foot has a shoe on the bottom. So, but it's not made from leather, it's probably made from wood. So it says, Akav Hakiteya, that wooden shoe that they made to fit his on the bottom of his leg, it says that you can use that for chalitza. I bet it's not made from leather. So the Gemara says, Kav Hakiteya, the Braisa says, Kav Hakiteya is acceptable. So the Gemara Mani, whose opinion is it? Rab Meir, he goes like Rab Meir, that he holds that it has a din of a shoe as long as it's megan. It doesn't have to be made from leather. Even though you have the pasuk v'anolach tochash, tachash is lav davke or, it means midi de megan. Sure. And how do you know that Rav Meir? Shita Gemara is going to say it's machlekes Meir and Chacham. How do you know it's Rav Meir? This not. We have a machlekes hatanoim. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do haitzah. There are 39 malachas. So Hamotzi Mishus Lushus is the 39th malacha. So, but what about the clothing that you wear? So clothing and jewelry, that's mutter. That's not called an Isa Hitzo. Begodim and Tachshitim is mutter. So here there's a Machlekes Hatanoim. What's his clothing? Let's say the guy's going to wear a hat on his foot. That's not normal. A hat you wear on the head. This is going to wear a hat on his hand. He's carrying the hat. That's not Derech Levisha. So what if he's going to wear wooden shoes? Is that called the shoe? Is that normal? Is that wooden shoe is called a shoe or not? So the Mishnah has a machlokes hatanaim. This non, the Mishnah has in the context of Haitzah, Hakiteya Yotze Bikav Shalo, Divi Reb Meir. Meir says the one who's missing a foot is permitted to wear the wooden leg with the shoe on the bottom, because a wooden shoe is also called a shoe. And Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to. So the Gemara understands the was Vashteta machlokes. How do you understand in Olach Tochash? Tochash means datka leather. Anything other than leather is not called a shoe. And you're not allowed to, so it's an Iso Haitzu on Shabbos. You're only allowed to wear shoes on your feet. You can wear socks, you can wear shoes. But if you wear sneakers, a person is going to wear sneakers on Shabbos, so according to Rabbi Yossi, you're not allowed to. Because it's not called a shoe. Only leather is called a shoe. And Rabbi Meir says, no, whatever is Megan. So since a wooden shoe or a sneakers is megan, so it's mutter. That's the machlokes of Meir and Rabbi Yossi. So the one line in the beginning of the braisa says kav hakiteya, the wooden shoe that the person who has the wooden leg has a wooden shoe on the bottom. That's acceptable for chalitza. Who sheet is that? Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that tachash doesn't mean dafke. Leather means whatever is megan. Then it says that later on in the braisa it says Banpilya shall beged is not acceptable. If you do chalitza Anpilya shall or it is good, Anpilya shall beged is no good. So the Gemara, what's wrong with Anpilya shall beged? Because it's not made from leather. So the Gemara says, Ason the Rabbanan. That goes like the Rabbanan, the Rabbeinu. So isn't that the machlokes Rav Meir and the Chachamim? So you have a stirim in Eibay within the Braisa here. The Braisa began a few lines before the bottom. Where was it? Tani Kabbalah said the Rav, he had three lines before the Baal Chotz of the Manal Anifras, and so on. Anifram. So the one line in the Brisa said, Kaba Kiteh, wooden shoe is good for Chalitza. Then the later line says, Anpilish al Beger is no good. So that's Astira. So it's a Machlokes, Abai Barav, how to read the Brisa. Omer Abai is Abai claim. It's Midas Sefer, Rabban, Reisha, Nami Rabban. Must be the whole Brisa goes like the Chachamim, that only leather is considered a shoe. I by the ratio it says a wooden shoe is also good. No, Hachma skin on that there's leather on the outside of the wood. The ratio the mchupa or the wooden shoe is coated on the outside. There's a chipui. There's a coating of leather on the outside of the shoe, so it's a leather shoe. It's a leather shoe. But so where does he put his foot though? Where does he put? He puts his foot inside, and then there's a lining of wood, and then there's a leather on the outside. So we had before, there was a Gemara. We had a Gemara. I thought there were two Pshatim and the Rishayim, whether you can have a cloth lining inside the shoe. Where was it? Yeah, Tafra B'Pishtan, where was that?
That was on the page 7 days, no?
Right over here.
Yeah, Tafra B'Pishtan.
Right.
On page 7 days.
Sanu HaTafra B'Pishtan is no good. So what does it mean, Sanu HaTafra B'Pishtan? Let's see, what does Rashi say? Tafra B'Pishtan is the fifth line from the top of Rashi. She Tafra B'Tocha Beged Pishtan has a lining inside. All the normal shoes, we have leather shoes. So you have a leather shoe, and then you have a cloth lining inside to make it more comfortable. So Rashi's first pshat is, at top of the pishtan, if there's a cloth lining inside the leather shoe, it's no good for chalitza. That's why the chalitza shoe doesn't have any lining. It's just plain leather. Lish nachrina, the second pshat in Rashi, at top of the pishtan, there's nothing wrong with, what's the din of chalitza? There's nothing wrong if you have a cloth lining, as long as the shoe has leather on the outside. But Tafra B'Pishtan means Shatafra B'Mashicha Kain Shalanu, that you sew the top. How do we have? We have leather on top and leather on the bottom, and it's sewn together with Pishtan. So that's what it means, Tafra B'Pishtan. If it's sewn together with thread, you have to sew it together with leather. Shouldn't sew it together. You should have leather straps sewing together the top with the bottom. You shouldn't have cloth straps. Two pshatim and Rashi. So in Shulchan Aruch they say we don't accept the first pshatim Rashi, and they bring the right from this Gemara, because this Gemara says a wooden shoe. Abai says the Rashi says a wooden shoe is good provided that it's chipeu b'mchupa or if you have leather on the outside it's good, but the wooden part is a chatzitza between the foot and the leather. So you see that the chalitza. Chatzitza doesn't bother me. If that's part of the shoe, there's no problem. But we're machmah now. We don't allow the yovan to wear socks, and we don't want to have chatzitza. And we tell him he should wash his foot that morning so he should be clean. Shouldn't have any chatzitza. Shouldn't have any dirt on his foot. And he should cut his toenails short, so there shouldn't be any chatzitza. Okay. So we're machmah not to have a lining lechatchila. But yeah, but if you have a lining, it is kosher, because we don't accept the first pshat in Rashi. Because it is Gemara, you see that a lining is good. So that's what Abai says. When the Rashi says a wooden shoe is good, there's been b'chupa or. Amalei Rav, that's the answer. The Rashi is on b'chupa or. Avol, what if it will be en b'chupa or mai? What would the din be if you have a wooden shoe and it doesn't have any leather on the outside? What would the din be? Possibly you can't use it for chalitza. If so, Adatani Sefer, instead of writing in the Sefer, the difference between Anpil Yoshal Beged and Anpil Yoshal Or, Liflik Bedida, let it say about a wooden shoe, that what we said in the Rashi, a wooden shoe is acceptable, is only by Medvam Amor Ben Mechupa Or, if it's coated on the outside with leather, Avlein Mechupa Or, then it's going to be puzzle. It doesn't seem to be correct in the Brisa. Abai's interpretation, that the wooden shoe is only acceptable if it's mechupa or doesn't seem to be ois gehalten in the brisa. Elam Rava. So Rava says no. The Braisa goes against Midrash Rav Meir, Sefer Nami Rav Meir. The Braisa goes against the Chacham. The Chachamim insist that you need leather shoes, so wooden shoes are no good. The Braisa says beferish, a wooden shoe is good. It goes shaloi kalocha. The Braisa goes like Rav Meir. Aye, but if you're like Rav Meir, so what's wrong with Anpil Yoshal Beged? As long as it's in Megan is good. And for the Gemara, no, hi Megan, hi loy Megan. Anpil Yoshal Beged is not even Megan. If you're wearing sneakers, so that's Megan. But if you're not wearing sneakers, that's not Megan. That's the Gemara. So let's review again. What does it say? On Shabbos, you're only allowed to wear clothing the normal way. That's when, let's say, a lot of people, when there's no Erev, so a person wants to carry his talis to shul, you're not allowed to carry if there's no Erev. So they wear the talis under their coat, under their jacket. So they fold up the talis so much, that's not the normal way to wear a talis. So the Gemara says, talis hamakupelis, if the talis is folded over so much that that's not the normal way to wear it, so then you're in violation of hoitzor. You're carrying it. One violates hoitzor not only if he holds the suitcase in his hand, he holds a talis in his hand, if he's wearing the talis on his body in an abnormal way, that's also called hoitzor. So the talis has to be in a normal way. So the shayla, the machlekes ha'tanaim was over here. A person is going to wear a hat on his hand. So that's not, he's going to wear a glove on his head. The gloves you wear on your head, and the hat you wear on the head. You don't wear gloves on the head, you don't wear the hat on the hand. So what about shoes? So machlekes ha'tanaim, what constitutes a shoe? So according to Reb Meir, even a wooden shoe is also good, even though it's a little abnormal, it's a little irregular. Leather is more regular. And Rabbi Yossi disagrees. And the Pesach is like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, Oyser beyond Pilya. Rabbi Yossi, Oyser, period. Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed to wear wooden shoes. It's only called a shoe if it's made from leather. So according to Rabbi Yossi, you're not allowed to walk in the street with sneakers on Shabbos. Because whatever is not called a shoe is an Isur Haitzor. That's what it says.
So
it's
an Isur Haitzor. What is the Biyasi going to ask him? Somebody finds himself went to the lake or to Teufel and he comes out and his clothes are not there anymore. He's going to put on something different, a poncho or a towel. So he's going to be Hoitzor?
Yeah. Yeah. The towel is not Levisha. The towel is not Levisha.
If you wear a glove.
Got to make sure the clothes should be there. Okay.
If you wear a glove on your head, it wouldn't be an easy device. It's a shinoi.
Okay. That's also true. If you do a malach in kalach hayad, it's the worst it could be. It's only the rabbana. Okay. So if you wear the glove on your head, that's not the normal way to carry, but it'll still be awesome at the rabbana. Yeah. So it comes out from the Gemara that if you wear sneakers on Shabbos, any kind of sneakers that you're allowed to wear during Shiva, you're allowed to wear on Tisha B'Av, you're allowed to wear on Yom Kippur, so you're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. So the Ran on the end of Maseches Yuma, and the end of this is in the end of Yuma, about what kind of shoes are you not allowed to wear on Yom Kippur. So the Ran on the Rif asks that question, but everybody on Yom Kippur wears sneakers, so according to that, so shouldn't it be an Isur Haitzor? So the Ran answers, no, on Yom Kippur, since you're not allowed to wear leather shoes, so that's normal. That's normal to wear sneakers on Yom Kippur, so that you're allowed to wear the sneakers in the chutz la'erev. But on Shabbos, that's what it says in Gemara. On Shabbos, whatever is not considered shoes, whatever is not leather, is not considered shoes. And you're not yetzei chalitza with it. And there's no reason to wear it on Yom Kippur because it's not nilus hasan. You're not allowed to wear it on Shabbos. So you can't wear sneakers in the street on Shabbos unless it's an erev. You're not allowed to go with sneakers, chutz la'erev. Wow.
By the amputee, though, you don't have the whole halacha of megan. So why are we discussing that? He doesn't have a leg. It's protecting wood or.
The Gemara is going to explain. We're going to use his wooden shoe for a person who does have a foot for chalitza. He's not doing the chalitza. Someone's going to borrow his shoe in order to do chalitza on a person who does have feet. The only question is, the wooden shoe, is it acceptable or not? The amputee uses a wooden shoe, and we have a regular foot. We're not amputees. Are we allowed to use a wooden shoe? So we paskin, no. We paskin like Rabbi Yossi. It's only called...
An amputee can't wear leather on Yom Kippur either?
I don't know.
Okay.
It could be that it's like a person who wears shoes and he doesn't walk with the shoes. The shoes don't really... If it's a person just laying in bed all day long, so that's what appears from the braisa, that's not an Isser of Nidus Hasan. So it could be the amputee. Even if he walks with the shoes don't help him.
Yeah.
Shoes don't really assist him in the walking. It just looks better. Looks better. He has a fake foot, and then he has shoes. Could be that he wouldn't violate Yom Kippur. Yeah, so it comes out from the Gemara that one is not allowed to wear. It's a strange din. Why? But it's normal to wear sneakers. Now it became normal. Maybe the din is different today. Maybe once it becomes normal, so there's no Isser Hotzoah on Shabbos. So why even Bizman HaTanoim? Why should it be a din? Vushteit HaDin. In the days of the Tanoim, they had ties. So we say a tie is a tachshit. Okay, tie is not a beggar. But they had, I wear an undershirt and an abercomfus and a shirt and a sweater and a jacket. In the days of the Tanoim, they wore all these things. They wore all of this. Every beggar that I wear, they wore. Did they wear socks? I don't know if they wore socks. How come we're allowed to wear socks?
Pajmakos.
Huh?
They must put pajmakos, no?
Yeah. So it's a beged. So what's so bad? What's so bad if you have sneakers? It's not a beged. So it's not a nal. So it's another beged. I don't know. It's a peladiki gemara. But that's what it said. The assumption in gemara that what socks you can wear. But shoes, to wear shoes, chutz le'erev, is only mutter if it has a din of a shoe. And if it's not ein din ke now, Rabbi Yossi Yosef, Rabbi Yossi holds that you're not allowed to wear sneakers, chutzler, unless you say today is different. I don't know. That's difficult gemara. Okay.
How could it be on Yom Kippur? It's mutter on Shabbos also, but Yom Kippur has a din of Shabbos too?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's the all Achronim. They all quote that Ran in the last Perek in Yuma. When Bamed Var Mamurim, when do you say that there's an Issa to wear sneakers on Shabbos? It's a violation of Hoitzah because not a shoe. That's on a regular Shabbos. But if it's Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to wear leather shoes. So then wearing the sneakers is normal. So that's the Pelos Abaya is always normal. The people who walk all week long and Shabbos included with sneakers, maybe it's not nice. But they wear sneakers all week long. How can you say it's not a beggar? I don't know. Fine, that's the Gemara. Now the Gemara has a new din. Omar Amei Mahayman the Cholitz, the brother-in-law of the Yavam, who's participating in the Chalitza to permit the Yavama to remarry, Sokh Lemit Chasei Lekari, has to stomp his foot on the ground like this. It has to be hard. What is that all about? What is that all about? So the Gemara first says, that's what Amemar says. Omele Rav Ashel Amemar, how can you say that? I have a Tanya, you have a Brisa that says, the top line, on the Omed, Ben Omed, Ben Yoshev, Ben Mutter. So if the fella is Yoshev, I'm sitting, and I can push my both heels into the floor. As you're sitting, you can push. If you're standing, see, also you can push your heels into the floor, normally. But if you're Mutter, if you're in a reclining position, so you're sideways, how can you push your heels into the floor? How can Rav Meimar insist that you have to push your heels into the floor if the Brisa says you can do chalitza when you're mutter? And for the Gemara, yeah, you can be mutter reclining, but you have to previously have pushed your foot into the floor like that. Provided that he pushed his foot. What kind of a din is that you have to push your foot? So the Nadi Behuda has a very fascinating tshuva. I forgot there was a younger contemporary of the Nadi Behuda who wrote a sefer. I forgot the name of the sefer. I remember someone gave me years ago a collection of essays by Kalman Kahana from, where was he? From Kibbutz Chofetz Chaim, I think, no? I think from Kibbutz. Puer Le'Aguda, yeah. He wrote a sefer on Taras HaMishpacha. He wrote a lot of things. So someone gave me years ago, I have to find it in the house. So he has a whole essay about this Talmud Chacham who was in the Bezdin of the Nadi Behuda. He wrote his own sefer, I forgot, Abor Turi Evan or something, some kind of Arbor or something. So he thought The pshat in the Gemara was the Yavam has to be tug of war. The Yavam has to push his foot into the floor to make it difficult for the Yavama to take off the shoe. If the Yavam takes off the shoe, it's no good. The Yavama has to take off. So he has to make it hard for her. So while she's trying to take it off, he should make it more difficult to push his foot into the floor. So the Nari Yehuda says, my dear friend, you were so young the last time you had a chalitza, you don't remember. That's not the way we do it. The Yavam stamps his foot in the floor, and then he doesn't give him a hard time. He picks up his foot to make it easier for the Yavama. It's not that, it doesn't have to be a tug of war. So what is the din? So if you would have held like this, other Talmud Chacham, so you understand what it means. He has to make it difficult for her, so it's clear that she's doing the chalitza. She's untying the shoe, and he's making it difficult for her. But once the Nei Yehuda says that that's not the way we did it 20 years ago, the last time we had a chalitza, we rarely have chalitzas, and Eretz Yisrael have, unfortunately, all the time. Young married people are killed in the army. But in all the generations, it was rare to have chalitza. So once he say not like that, so what is it all about? So the Rishonim explain over here that maybe the Rosh has, other Rishonim have. Because the practice, it was going to say later, we followed, the Rosh quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, that Tachash was a kosher animal, so the Chalitza shoe has to be from a kosher animal. The normal leather shoes that we wear are horse leather. So you can't take a regular shoe because, first of all, it's horse leather, it's Behemoth Tmeah, secondly, it has a lining, and we're Machma for the first Pshat and Rashi Lechatchila, that the Yevid were Mekel, because it's against the first Pshat Rashi against an offering of Gemara. If the wood is mapsik, it doesn't bother us, but Lechatchila were Machma for them. So the Bezin always has a Chalitza shoe, because people don't walk around with shoes without a lining, people don't walk around with shoes from or Behemotor, we all use with horse leather. So the Bezin always has a Chalitza shoe. So the Gemara has an Amid Beis. The Gemara has, if you take a look, about 10 lines from the top, the line begins, Tana Rabbanan, Na'aloi, Cholza Na'aloi. The Gemara quotes a caption from the Mishnah, Cholza B'manal Shein Shaloi. If she did Chalitza, she removed the shoe from the Yavam's right foot, but the shoe didn't belong to the Yavam. He borrowed someone else's shoe. So the Mishnah says that it's kosher, B'di'evet. Tana Rabbanan Na'aloi. Cholza na'aloi, any other na'aloi has to belong to him. Now shall call out the minan. How do you know, even if the shoe does not belong to the yom, tamalam, and na'al mikamakam. He says the word na'al twice. Cholza na'al mi'al ragla, then he says, kachayolis, ashal yivne, v'nik shishpam, v'shal beis chalutza na'al. So the word na'al is mentioned twice. So it's marba mikamakam, even if it doesn't belong to him in Cain. So why does it say na'aloi? Doesn't the vav mean possessive? It should belong to him. Everything more name na'aloi means it should be the right size. Some people have big feet, some people have tiny feet. So na'aloi means haroiloi, prat to the exclusion of God, l'shen yochel l'halavoi. The shoe is so gigantic, he can't walk with it. He walks to the shoe, makes problems. It's way too big for him. And prat l'kot shen ha'chayfer rav raglef. If the guy has a big foot and they give him a tiny shoe and it doesn't cover over rav of the regal, so it's no good. So then the Gemara has, it's only good b'di'evit if you use someone else's. L'chatchila, you have to be, the Bezin always has a chalitza shoe, and l'chatchila, they're makna the chalitza shoe to the Yavam. L'chatchila should belong to him. Why should it belong to him, l'chatchila? Once you learn out from the Pasuk that it's not mi'akev, so what do you need l'chatchila? So the Rashba has two suggestions. He has one suggestion, and a Mechudish Dika suggestion, that you want to fulfill Pshuto Shal Mikra. The Torah Sheval Peh has a drasha that the word Na'al is repeated. Beis Chaluta Na'al, Na'al Na'al, Riba, but the Pshuto Shal Mikra Chotza Na'ala, that the shoe has to belong to him. So even though the Torah Sheval Peh says that that's not what the Pshat in the Pasuk is, Na'ala means it should be his size, that doesn't mean it should be his possession, but L'chatchila you want to fulfill the Pshuto Shal Mikra. That's a very fascinating idea. That's what Achrayim bring up an issue with respect to Dalad Minim on Sukkos, that the Torah says you have to have Arabis, and it says Arve Nachal. Nachal means a river. Arve Nachal means Arabis that grow on the banks of the river. So Arar Rav is usually, they're not growing the banks of a river. So some Achranim say, Latachatchila, you should really have Arabas that grow by river to be Mekayim Pshut Shal Mikra. That's what they have so many gimmicks to charge more money for the dollar medium. So someone should sell Arabas that grow by a banks of the rivers. You get twice as much. Charge $25 for two Arabas. Instead of only taking $10 for two Arabas, why not charge $25? Get the Hida Lachatchila, Arve Nachal. So that's a question. That's a question. Is there such a concept? That's one suggestion in the Rashba. L'chatchila, you want to be Mekayim Pshut Shal Mikra, even though the Torah Shabbat says that that's not the din. The other suggestion the Rashba gives is a difficult one, I think. The other suggestion is, L'chatchila, we want that the shoe should belong to the Yovam. We shouldn't use someone else's shoe to make sure that it's going to fit. Yeah, but the Bezin gives him the Chalitza shoe. No one wears their own shoe because all the shoes are horse leather and they all have lining. So we never use, the Yavam never does chalitza with his own shoe. He always takes the shoe from the Bezin. Bezin is always careful to have a shoe that fits everybody. It's not too big and it's not too small. So whatever size foot you have, the shoe is going to fit. So what do you accomplish by Bezin being makna the shoe to the Yavam? That it should belong to him. And the Rashba says, why do we require lechatchil that it should belong to him? That it should be the right size, but it's not his. The Bezin always gives it. Bezman HaGemara, that was the practice. Bezman HaZeh, that's the practice. The Bezin has a chalitza shoe, and they're makna. So what do they gain by being makna? Havle makna, what do you gain by being makna? So it's a difficult Gemara. Those are the two suggestions that the Rashba has. The one suggestion, lechatchil we want to fulfill pshuto shel mikra, even though the Torah Shabbat Pes says that the din is not so. And the other suggestion is that to know for sure that it should, that it's going to fit. That's Naloi Haroila.
I would say the same thing, but I would say Ayin Tachazayin, that you have to be Mekayim.
Yeah.
Certainly not. Certainly not. Yeah. That's a question. What does it mean? L'chatchila to fulfill Pshut Toshamik. I don't know. We have a cloud. Ein amik yeretz midei pshuta. Pshuta shal mikra is also true. The Gemara has in Masechus Shabbos, one of the Amoraim learned in Yeshiva, I think for 16 years or something. Rav Kahn, I think, learned for many years. And then after learning so many years, he was surprised to hear, he never heard this before. Ein amik yeretz midei pshuta. He thought all those years that only the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh are emes. He never thought that the pshuta shal mikra was significant. And then the Rebbe said, no, the Pshut Shal Mikra is also Emes. So the Ramban writes in the Sefer HaMitzvah, Zigmar never said, Ein by Mikra, Ela Pshuto. No, all the 16 years he learned all the drushes of the Torah Shabbat Peh. He never thought Pshut Shal Mikra is binding. And then after all those years, the Rebbe says, no, and Amikya Etzmide Pshuto, Pshut Shal Mikra is also Emes, also binding. You have to know Pshut Shal Mikra and all the Pshutim. But the Shana is over here. If he's saying Naal Riva, so it's not Pshut Shal Mikra. So the word Naaloi doesn't mean that the shoe should belong to him. It means it should fit his foot. So why do you makna lechatchila? What do you mean you want to make Mekayim Pshut Shal Mikra? That's a problem. So here that's what the Rosh and other Rishonim say. Why do you need Tzoch L'mit Chasei L'kai? Why do we tell him lechatchila to stamp his foot? He's not like the contemporary of the Nadi Yehuda. He should push his foot while she's trying to take it off. So she's going to have to work harder, so she's doing the whole chalitza and he's not helping her out. We don't want him to help out. Okay, that we understand. But we don't follow that suggestion. We never did that. So what is it all about? So the Rishonim say, because the Bezin is always going to give him a shoe, and it's not always going to be the right size, so you want him to stamp it on the foot, his foot on the floor, to show that it fits, that it covers his foot. Chayfetz Rav HaRegman is Yochel Alach Boy. To demonstrate in advance that it's a kosher issue, that it's the right size. The Rishonim have a machlekes, is that me'akev b'di'evid? What if he did the chalitz and he didn't stamp his foot in advance? If the whole idea is to demonstrate that it's the right size and it fits, so we know it fits. So well, he has to demonstrate it. So the Meiri writes of Pashtus is the b'di'evid. It's not me'akev, it's just lachatchila to demonstrate that it fits. And he quotes, there are those who insist that not so. That even b'di'evid, you won't be yotze. Pashtus says that it would be good b'di'evid.
Does he have to actually walk to a Bezin that he can walk with it? Or just assume that he can?
Usually they tell him they tell him, go for a walk with the shuan, because they want to test him whether he's right footed or left footed. You want to know whether a person is a righty or a lefty, let's say for tefillin. You put the tefillin on the left arm if you're a righty. If you're a lefty, you put the tefillin on the right arm. So here, the din is, you take off the chalitza shoe from the right foot. The Mishnah says if she took off the chalitza shoe, chalitza b'smol, chalitza b'sula. If she'll take off the shoe from his left foot, so that's possibly medieval. Pashim shot, that's possibly medieval. So Tosis had a wild shot. Chalitza b'smol means if the Yavama took off the shoe with her left hand. But Tosis said that's not Pashim shot in the Mishnah. Pashim shot, chalitza b'smol means she took off the shoe from his left foot, not that she took off from his right foot using her left hand. But so by the Yavama, we ask her, are you a righty or a lefty? And she's a righty. So we tell her, put your left hand behind your back and take off. She has to untie the knots. There's a bow and a knot. She has to untie everything with one hand. She has to take it off. Because we're so careful not to let her do it with the left hand. So we tell her, put the left hand behind your back. But then you have to ascertain also whether the Yavama is right-footed or left-footed. So how do you ascertain whether he's right-footed or left-footed? So they say, you tell the Yavama, stand over here, and then you tell him, walk to the wall. So if he walks with his right foot first, we assume the right foot is stronger. Or you have a ball there, you say, kick the ball. So how's he going to kick the ball? He's going to kick the ball with his right foot. And in days of the Shulchan Aruch, they didn't have such a hasoga of kicking the ball. So they say, you tell him, walk. You tell him, walk. Usually they give him so many instructions. He has to wash his foot in the morning, and she shouldn't eat anything. So what will sometimes happen is, the telly of him walk to the wall, so he says, should I walk right foot first or left foot first? The whole idea of telling him to walk is to test him to see whether he's a right footed or left footed.
Could be ambidextrous.
Could be. The Achranim talk when they're in the army, so they train him to walk left, right. So they make everybody walk with the left foot first. The Achranim discuss what's the din. So a normal person, if a normal person is right handed, so Mistama, his right foot would be stronger than the left foot. And then we say she has to do the chalitza from the right foot. What if he's left-footed? What if the left foot is stronger than the right foot? So then there's a big machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, whether you do the chalitza davka from the left foot, or no, you do the chalitza from the right foot, even if he happens to be left-footed. It's not a din like tefillin, you need yad keya. It's not a din over here that you have to take off the shoe, the yavam has to take off the shoe from that foot that's stronger. So that's a machlekes.
But we have to know which foot then. If anyhow it's going to be the right foot, what difference does it make which foot he walks with?
No, if you hold like that sheet, that's always the right foot, so that you don't need the whole thing. But we're machmer that you would need twice chalitza. If he's a left-footed person whose left foot is stronger than the right foot, and when he kicks with the left foot, so then we would do chalitza twice. We would do chalitza on the right foot and on the left foot. So when you test them to see whether which foot is stronger, so you tell him, hey, kick something, or you tell him, walk to the wall. So you see whichever foot he goes first.
And if he's a switch hitter, if he's ambidextrous,
then you do it with the right foot. Then you do it with the right foot, like by tefillin. If a person is ambidextrous, he puts the tefillin on the left arm. Yeah. So that's the first thing. Amen must be. I'm on the cholitz, when the yavam participates in the chalitza, so the mitchas and the kari has to stamp his foot to show that it fits. Sure. Then the Gemara has the kasha, the Gemara answers. The Omar Amemi says another din, Haiman de mazgi alichsa de kari. A normal person who has a normal leg, so that you place all of the weight of the leg on the heels. You don't walk on your tippy toes normally. So what if a person's foot is twisted a little bit, and when he walks sideways. His foot is always twisted sideways, or his foot can't walk normally with the heel on the ground. He always goes with the tippy toes on the ground. I'm on the mazgi, a person who walks alichsa dekare, who walks on the side or on the toes, lecholitz, it's not kosher, he cannot do chalitza. So the Gemara says, it's against the Mishnah. Amle avashel amem, yes, isn't it against the Mishnah? Mishnah says you want to use smuchas haraglayim. You want to use people whose foot is twisted, so they have something that enables them to walk better. So the Mishnah says, if it's made from leather, you can use it for chalitza. So my lav, pashib shat the cholitz ba'ihu. The man whose foot is twisted, he's going to do the chalitza wearing that leather shoe that was specially made to his foot. Then he walks crooked. The Gemara says, no, the Mishnah does mean he can't do chalitza because it can't be dochis akare. He can't stamp down on the heel. No, the Gemara pshat is the Ivle Lachavichol, it's someone else who has a normal foot, is going to borrow his shoe. The other person is going to do chalitza. The Mishnah just saying that the smuchas haraglayim, even though some people have something wrong with their foot, so they have special shoes. So a normal person can use that special, even though he doesn't need the special, he doesn't have that problem. A normal person can use the shoe, provided that it's ordeim at Torah, provided that it has no lining and shut. So you can use it. So that's what it means. Smuchas haraglayim, that person whose foot is twisted cannot do chalitza. Yeah, what do you do if a person can't do chalitza? I remember Rav Soloveitchik said, in his career in the rabbinate, he said that in America, he had a case where the Yovam was missing a foot. Yovam was missing a foot. So you can't do chalitza, what do you do? So he didn't know what he's supposed to do. He said he contacted Rav Chaim Heller, and he asked him what he's supposed to do. So Rav Chaim Heller was a big bucky in Achrayim, so he told him all the Achrayim say in such a case, he has to do Yibum, has to do Bia, and then give a get. He said he can't do chalitza. So normally we don't permit Yibum because of the Gemara Lamites on the base. Abishol says we only allow Yibum if he's marrying the Yivama l'shem mitzvah. Otherwise, Karva Dover Lias Avlad Mamza, he says. If he only is kainis as Yivimta l'shem noy, only because she's good looking, or because there's a lot of money, or because the family has a prominent pedigree, otherwise he wouldn't be marrying her. So whenever he's not doing the mitzvah Yibam l'shmo, so then he's in violation of the Isser Reshuzach. So we paskan like Abishol. We assume, most of Rishonim assume that Abishol's din is only with the Rabban. So normally under normal conditions we don't permit Yibam. But over here in this case we have no choice. The woman will not be able to remarry because he can't do chalitza. He's missing a foot. So you have to tell him he has to do Yibam. And then he has to give her a get. We don't allow them to continue to live together. So that's what he did under that rare case. That's what you have to do. So the Gemara says, Amar Ravashi. Ravashi makes a comment. According to what Amema said, that whoever has a twisted foot, and he can't, when he walks, he doesn't walk on the heel of the foot. He walks on the tippy toe, so he walks sideways. The foot is twisted sideways. So there were two people who were punished min hashamayim. One is Barube and one is Barkipuf. So these two people simply, if their brother would die leaving no children, they wouldn't be kosher to do chalitza because their feet, they were punished for something that they did, and their feet turned to become twisted. Sure.
Now that we have the
chiyum
of Rabbeinu Gershon, so if you can't do chalitza, you can't do yibum either.
If he can't do chalitza,
he can't marry a second wife. We have the chiyum of Rabbi Gershon.
Yeah, yeah.
So if there's one brother and he has a problem,
then he's married already.
He's married already.
Married already.
So what happens to the woman?
In Shulchan Aruch there's a machlokes whether the chiyum of Rabbi Gershon applies by makom mitzvah or not. So some rishonim hold that by makom mitzvah doesn't apply bechlal. He wants to do yibum according to the mechaber. Mechaber holds that you do practice Yibam, even Bizman Hazem. So Mechaber quotes an opinion that B'makam Mitzvah doesn't apply. Even if you hold that B'makam Mitzvah does apply, so you can be Mata Dechem the Rabbi Negershon. You make a Etame Rabban. They allow him to be nice to Yisrael Lishtoi only for a day. He'll marry her for a day and then give her a get.
But in America, he'd be a big mist.
Okay.
You have to do Kedushin first.
You have to figure out how not to violate Din and Mahusa. Okay? You got to figure something out. I don't know. Okay. So then the Mishnah has a Din and Akuva Lamato. Akuva is the knee. So the Mishnah makes some kind of a distinction between Akuva Lamato and Akuva Lamailo. What is the Mishnah talking about? So there's a major Machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos, what the Pirush Amilus and the Mishnah is. So Rashi has it on the Mishnah. Rashi repeats it here. And the Tosfos has it here. Tosfos quotes Rashi, and they disagree with Rashi. So Rashi learns like this. the fellow is missing his foot. The fellow is missing the whole foot. It's amputated above the ankle. But as long as part of the leg is there below the knee, so you can put a shoe, a leather shoe on whatever is there, and you can do chalitza. But if the leg was amputated till Mirakuva Lamailo, it's missing all the way up until the knee. He doesn't have anything below the knee, then he can't do chalitza. And Tosfos disagrees. What do you mean? If the fella's foot is twisted, you don't let him do chalitza. So if the whole foot is missing, they certainly don't let him do chalitza. So what does the Mishnah talk about? A difference between Rakuva Lamaila and Rakuva Lamata? No, it means a different thing. The guy has a foot, he has a leg, and he has a foot, he has everything. If he's missing a foot, Tosfos said he can't do chalitza. Nothing to discuss. He has a foot, but you put on a chalitza shoe. So the chalitza shoe has straps around it. It has two straps. The straps are like ritzuas of tefillin. So the straps, you make one strap is attached on the right side of the shoe, like we have shoelaces coming out. So we have one shoelace coming out from the right side, one shoelace coming out from the left side of the shoe. And then we cross them and we make a bow. Or you make a double knot, whatever. Little children make a double knot because they don't always untie their shoes. And adults usually just make a bow. So the chalitza shoe has two straps, look just like ritzuas ha'tefillin, painted black on one side, the other side is white. One strap is sewn onto the shoe on the right side on the bottom, one side is sewn on the left side on the bottom. The same place where the shoe laces come out, the same location, that's where the straps are sewn on. And then you crisscross them around the leg, and you go higher, higher, higher. And then a foot up, a foot above the ankle, below the knee, you make your double knot. There was a machlokes and tesis, but you should have a kesher gabi kesher, or you should have an aniva. So our meaning is that we do both. You make a kesher gabi kesher with an aniva on top of it. So if the shoe laces, if the shoe straps are tied below the akuva, that's acceptable. Thank you. But if the shoe straps are tied above the akuva, that's no good, because you're doing the chalitza too high up. Because the beginning of the chalitza is the untying of the shoe straps and then the removing of the shoe. So if the shoe straps of the knot, the double knot with the bow, everything is so high above the knee, so that's not acceptable. So those are the two pshatim in the Mishnah. Rashi learns the foot is amputated, so as long as you have a little bit left below the knee, you can put a shoe there and do chalitza. And Tyson says that's out of the question. If the foot is twisted, you can't do chalitza. If the whole foot is missing, a body can't do chalitza. That means where are the shoe straps tied together? So the Gemara says, why should it be good? It says chotzen al me al ragloi. From the foot, this is not the foot. This is the leg. The foot is all the way down below the ankle. Is the foot? Then the Gemara then it says me al raglo, from above the regal. The regal is the foot below the ankle. And this is called me'al ragloi. So the Gemara says, really? Why? But so what's wrong if it's above the knee? No, that's me'al de me'al. That's too high up. Me'al ragloi means above the regal. So then the first Amara says, apparently they never dissected, I don't know what you call it, dissected, they didn't have a cadaver to dissect to see, is it one long bone that goes from the knee to the ankle? Is it one bone or is it more than one bone? So the Gemara raises a question, if it's more than one bone, so then even if it's tied below the knee, it should also be me'al de me'al. The ragloi is the foot below the ankle, and the bottom bone, if it's the two bones, and the bottom bone is me'al ragloi, and the bone on top of that, if there's more than one bone, that should be me'al de me'al. Tok shaynish. So Gemara says, yeah, even if it's two bones, it doesn't matter. Even if it's not one bone from the knee to the ankle, even if it will be two bones below, but it functions like one bone. So the whole location, that whole spot between the knee and the ankle is called me'al ragla. That's what the Gemara says. That's the Gemara. I don't know, it's not worth really reading it. That's what the Gemara says. Then the next Gemara says, but above the knee, that's not called ragloi. Regal is only the foot below the ankle, and between the knee and the ankle is me'al ragloi, and above that, me'al de me'al, that's not. Frag the Gemara, But the pasuk says in the Teicheche, it says the situation is going to be so terrible when they're going to make pogroms, they're going to be killing Jews. So the women who normally have more love for their babies than the fathers have, the mothers have motherly love. That's why it's called rechem, because they have rachmanis on their babies, more so than the father has rachmanis on the baby. So the Torah says the woman will not have rachmanis on her own baby. The baby that she gave birth to, and she'll eat the dead baby. They won't have anything to. They won't have any food to eat. The people will eat their own, the dead body of their own baby. That's a teichach. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The shilya comes out mebein ragleha. The raglaim are all the way on the bottom. This is me'al de me'al, and baby comes out from the rechem. That's over here. The part of the leg, the thigh, that's above the knee. That's me'al de me'al. How is that called ragleha? Shilya sahiyot says mebein ragleha. So Abai says, no, when they give birth, they're in such pain, so they bend their knees, they bend their legs, and the heels of the feet are all the way up where the rechem is. That's what Abai said. B'shosha karas leded, when she's about to give birth, now etzis hakeveho, b'irecho selio leded, so it's literally how you shul yosai etzim bein ragleho. Sure, okay. The kasha was, don't you see the whole leg is called ragleho? Why do you tell me a whole story? The leg, the foot is regel, and this is called me'al ha-regel, and this is me'al de me'al. No, don't you see that the top part is also called ragleho? Mar says, no, because b'shosha karas leled, when the baby is about to be born, so they fold over the legs. Furthermore, there's another pasuk, le'yosa raglov, or le'yosa svamai. How does it say? Le'yosa raglov, how does Rashi translate over here? Le'hesis ser zaken hatachtam. He didn't shave off the hair on his base of erva. So how's it called raglov? The seir base of erva, that's by the thigh, by the groin. So how's that called regal? That's me'al de me'al. And for the Gemara, Rashi earlier in the Masechta translates differently. It means he didn't cut his toenails. His toenails were very long and he looked awful. The other pshat is he didn't shave the hair by the base of erva. That's a question the Rishonim have. Is it permissible for a man to shave off the hair in the Beis HaRechem? Maybe it's a nisar of the Yilbosh Geva Simla Sisha. Maybe only women shave off the hair from under their armpit and the Eva HaErva, and the men are not allowed to. So that's a big discussion. And the Rosh and the other Rishonim over here, based on other Gemara Nazir, the Yilbosh Geva Simla Sisha doesn't only apply if a man is wearing a dress. It implies if, let's say, women will pull out, if a person has a black head of hair, and he has one gray hair, so he's going to pull it out to look younger. So women do that. So if a man pulls that hair, a man dyes his hair. So women like to dye their hair to look younger. And men are not supposed to dye their hair to look younger, because that's a violation of Le'ilva Gevesim Losish. There many used to be years ago, there used to be a lot of European Talmid HaChacham, they would dye their beards. They should look younger. So that was all based on the Slabotka Rosh Yeshiva was Mekel, because women don't have beards. you're not allowed to dye your hair, because women dye their hair to look younger. But you can't say women dye their beards. So that's the Slabotka Rosh Yeshiva was Mekel on that. Moshe Mark Epstein.
Well, let the dye look older, white. He wants to dye it white, fair.
I think that is permissible. That is permissible. They have discussions. Speedy H has a whole discussion. What if a person has half of his head is black hair and the other half is gray? He's only 25 years old. He looks awful. Half is gray and half is white. So he doesn't want to look younger. He wants to look normal. He doesn't want to dye everything gray. He's not so old. He wants to look normal like everybody else's age with the black hair. So maybe there's no issue. So this radiation has a whole discussion. And then he says, and later on he found out that he learned in Slabotka. He found out his Rosh Yeshiva wrote a tshuva about it. So a big discussion. When are you allowed to dye your hair, when not? So that's the discussion over here. Le'osa raglav, Rashi translates, he didn't shave off the seir beis ha'erva. The Rashi earlier in the Masechta has a different pshat, that he didn't cut his toenails, so he looked awful. So how can you call that ragloi? And for the Gemara, Nishna Malia, it's a loshen nekiya. You don't want to say he didn't shave off the hair in the groin. So you say it's a loshen nekiya, say raglav. Toshma vayavashol v'hasachas raglov. Hasachas raglov means what? Also, he Rashi may raglaim. Meiraglaim doesn't come out from the regel, it comes out Meal de Meal, all the way on top. All the way on top. So how's it called? How come it's called Lhasachas Raglav? The Gemara says also Loshen Nikiya. It's a Loshen Nikiya. Ach Mesuchu Raglav also Lishna Malya. Lishna Malya. Everything is Lishna Malya. That's the Gemara. So that's it. The Gemara says the regal is the foot below the ankle, and above the ankle, between the knee and the ankle, is called Me'al Ragloi. And then above the knee is called Me'al de Me'al. So you can't do the Chalitza from above. Then once they quoted the Pasuk, so they comment on the Pasuk in Shiras Devoira. What does it say? Ben Raglah Tarash Achalna. What was going on there? There was a Mochama Sisra Sartzava. I forgot already which Goyish country did he represent. Sarsva Melech Haram. I forgot already. So he was the general of the Goyish army, and they had a war against Bnei Yisrael. And then they were losing the war. Sisra's army was losing, the Jews were winning the war. So he ran away, the general ran away to hide and base Yoel Eshes Chevra Keni. Because they had Shalom. It was Shalom between Keni, Chevra Keni, and that nation. So Yoel Eshes Chevra Keni gave him to drink milk, it says, and then she put him to sleep, and then she chopped off his head, and that was the end of Sisra. Sure. So the pasuk says, "Ben Ragala Kavash Achal Nafal, Vasher Kavash Sham Nafal Shadud." So the word Nafal Karash Achav appears seven times. So the Gemara interprets what it means was that she had tashmish with him. Amar Rabbi Yechon Shevet Bilas Bal Osa Rosh Boseyam. She encouraged him. She led him on to be. She was mezana with him seven times in order that he should fall asleep. He should get tired, and when he fell asleep, then she chopped off his head. So how was she? She was an Eshes Ish. How was she permitted to violate Gili Arayis for Pikuach Nefesh? For Pikuach Nefesh, a fine Pikuach Nefesh is Deicha called at Tarakuli. You can eat on Yom Kippur. You can eat Mechal Shabbos whenever. You can eat Chametz B'Pesach if need be. You can do others, but not Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayis, and Shvichas Damim. So she's what?
That was Avodah
Lishma. So the Gemara said that's Avodah Lishma. That's the Gemara Nazir, Daf Chav Gimel. It says on the side, Nazir, Daf Chav Gimel. So the Gemara says, G'dayla Avera Lishma. First, the Gemara has a Lashon, G'dayla Avera Lishma, Yerseli Mitzvah Shalom Lishma. And Avera, the Shem Shamayim, is on a higher Madrega than doing a Mitzvah Shalom Lishma. Then the Gemara says, higher Madrega, come on, Avera Lishma. The Gemara says, G'dayla Avera Lishma, Kim Mitzvah Shalom Lishma, equal. So the Gemara says, how do you know? Because Dvaira Hanaviya praises her in Shiraz Dvaira. She praises Yoel Eshes Chevrakeni Minoshim Ba'oihel Tivairach. She should be praised more so than the Imahis. Sarif Gerach Vale Adonoshim Ba'oihel Minoshim Ba'oihel Tivairach. She should be praised more so than the Imahis. The Imahis maybe lived with her husband's Shalodishma. They weren't thinking of developing a whole Klal Yisrael. And she did an Aver Lishma, so we have to give her credit. But the question is, how is it permissible? What do you mean Aver Lishma? What happened to the din that Pikoch Nefesh is not Durche Gili Arayis? So why is it Mutta? So the Shulchan Aruch, they say, the Pikoch Nefesh of an individual person or a group of people, then Pikoch Nefesh is not Durche Gili Arayis. But this is Hatzolah's Klal Yisrael. There was a Muhammad in Eretz Yisrael. By definition, even if 99% of the Jews live in Chutz La'aretz and only 1% of the Jews happen to live in Eretz Yisrael, so the Ramban has like this, by definition, the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Klal Yisrael. The Ramam also writes like that with respect to a few dinim. The Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Klal Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz are called Yechidim. That's the Lashon HaGemara. They're called Yechidim. So to save the Jewish Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, they were slaughtering, there would be another Muhammad. Sisra, if Yoel wouldn't have killed him, he would have gone back and put together another army and would have killed more people. They have in the news all the time. All the terrorists who were released by Medina Yisrael, whenever they made an exchange, they always come back. They always say that, they always come back and they do more terrorist activity. So this Sisra, if she would let him live, He came, he ran to her tent because v'shalom between Chevra Keni and Sisra. So he came to hide over there that the Jews shouldn't kill him. So if she would have let him live, he would have come back to kill more Jews. So that was for the purpose of Tzolos Klal Yisrael. You were allowed to. In the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch, they say the same is by Esther Hamalka. That Esther Hamalka was living with Ahasuerus. Right. So the Gemara has an Agadata Vatila Levas, that Esther was a Yisayma, Kein La'ov, and Mordechai adopted her, Vatila Levas. He adopted her as a daughter. So the Gemara has an Agadata Altikri Basa Lelevais, the basis of Ishtoi, that he married her. Mordechai had married Esther Hamalka, and then the Gemara assumes he never gave her a get. And she, in the whole time, that why didn't he give her a get? She was taken by Ahasuerus. So she's going to be living with someone else. It's going to be an Isser of Loisinov. The Isser of Loisinov applies even if the Jewish woman is Mizana with a Nachri. It's also an Isser of Loisinov. So why didn't he give a get? So Tosfos says he was afraid to give a get because it'll become this parsim. So Ahasuerus is going to find out that he's living with a girl who's really married to someone else, so he may kill everybody. So there was a Chashash Sakonis Nefoshis. Said, but still, said, but it's Yehorik Val Yavar. She's afraid that they're going to kill her if she doesn't live with Ahasuerus. But that's the din Gilei Arayso Yehorik Val Yavar. So that's what some of the Rishonim answer, that it's Esther Kako Elam Hoysa. But then she decided to coax him. She decided she's going to go to the king and make love to him. And she's going to initiate this nus the next time. And then, after befriending Ahasuerus, then she's going to try to put in a good word for the Jewish people. So how is she allowed to initiate the Karkoilim is if he attacks her. Ahasuerus is Mizana with her, she's passive. But if she's actively starting up the whole affair with Ahasuerus, so you can't say Karkoilim. So that's what she says, Kasher Avarati Avarati, this time I'm going Berotz, and until now it was Boines, so she doesn't become Asura al Baila, Mordechai. But this time, the next time she's going to go Berotz, and she's going to initiate the Oznus, so now she says she's going to become Asura al Baila. Kasher Avarati Avarati is going to be Asura. So how is she allowed to do it if she's initiating? Should be Yehorik Val Yavar? Because you can't say Karkodom, she initiates. So that's what they quote in the end of Eben Ezra. They have the dinim of Saita Asura al Baila, the very end, the last few simanim. So it says that for Hatzolos Kalal Yisrael's Mutter. So they say that's the story with Esther, and that's the story with Yoel Eishes Chever Akeni also.
She was a Bas Noach. Yehor Ve'yavor Bais.
Who
was a Jewish Akeni? Eishes Akeni? What's the whole discussion here?
By Nochrim, there's no din of Yehor Ve'yavor. By Nochem there's a machlokes. The Rambam starts a perikay in Hilchas Yisera Torah. Kol basis on mitzuvim al kiddush Hashem. The Rambam starts off the perik. Din of Yehorik Val Yavar only applies to Jews, not to non-Jews. Rashi and Tosfos perhaps learn not so. I don't know. Maybe they assume that they were in his gaya, that Chevra Keni originally originated from Keni, but maybe he converted. I don't know.
There's no chaybohem by a boy.
No, the reverse. There is v'chai bohem. Many assume there is v'chai bohem, and the machlekes says even by avodah zarah gelash v'chazdam also you say v'chai bohem. That's how the Rambam holds. By nochrim, there's no din of yehorik val yavar. So even by avodah zarah gelash v'chazdam, you also say pikuach nefesh is doicha. And Rashi and Tosfos say no. They're just like by us, pikuach nefesh not doicha. So by them also not. But somehow in Shulchan Aruch they quote that you have a problem over here. The same problem by Esther, who was Jewish, would apply to Yoel Eishes Chevra Keni. And they say the same answer. That's called Hatzolos Klal Yisrael. So we'll have to see what's the next discussion. The Gemara is going to raise a discussion over here about Komisanya Be'avera. Isn't she getting Hanoi? So what's wrong if she gets Hanoi? What's the question? So we'll have to learn the Tosfos with the Shulchan Aruch again. Okay, we'll save it for next week.
There was an article that I was reading where nowadays there are cases where female IVF soldiers would seduce Hamas terrorists.
Yeah, yeah.
So, based on this, would
that be permissible? If it's a Tzolos Am Yisrael? Tzolos, Klal Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael, yeah, the Jews always did that. IDF always did that. They had spies, they had female spies who would be mezana with Arabs in order to find out all the secrets.
Even if it's
Eish Ish? Yeah, we say even Eish Ish, but then she becomes Asur al Bailo. We'll have to discuss it. That's what Esther says, even though it's Beheter, but she still becomes Asur al Bailo. Yeah. Beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, the Torah tells us that. Strange that Yosef, we refer to Yosef as Yosef HaTzadik. He used to tell the father, he used to tell the father that the brothers are doing averas. Why did he tell Lashon Hara about the brothers? Moitzi Shemer means when you make up the story that's not true. Lashon Hara means when it is true, and you're not allowed to tell Lashon Hara. So why is he telling the father? So the Mefarshim explain that the Gemara says in Sochim, if I see a person doing an Avera, and I don't think I'll be able to get him, I don't have a shprach with him, I won't be able to give him tochacha. But if I know who his Rebbe is, there's no isa loshen hara whenever it's le toelis lahabo, either toelis for, let's say, you tell me you're planning to murder someone, so I want to save that person's life, so that's toelis lahabo, or I want to straighten you out. So I'm permitted to tell Lashon Hara to your Rebbe if I think there's a good chance that your Rebbe may be able to give you Musa that you will listen to. But the Chofetz Chaim writes over these dinim, you have to be careful not to exaggerate, you just say what it is exactly. So that's what some of the Mefarshim say. Why say Vayove Yosef as the Bosom Rosh, you say Vayisapi Yosef El Aviyem. Why Vayove? Vayove means here it is and I'm carrying it over. Vayove. Vayisaper means he's telling the father he may be magzim, he may add on something that never happened. Vayyavi means Yosef said dvarim kahavayosim exactly, without any exaggeration, without any misrepresentation, and he told them alaviyim to the father who loved them. He thought that the father loves them and the father is their rebbe, so the father stands a better chance of giving them musa. He was younger than all the other brothers, so they're not going to listen to him. So the Yosef told the father that the father should give them tochacha. They have in the drushes of Rav Moshe Feinstein also like that the Rabbanu Shalom appears to Avram Avinu and he says Loma zetzocha kosora, and then Avram Avinu confronts Sora, so she says she was afraid, so he said lo tzochokti. So Avram Avinu says lo ki tzochokti, did live. Why did Rabbanu Shalom tell Avram Avinu that his wife acted improperly? Lashon Hara, just to ruin his marriage. Why did Baruch Hashem tell Avram Avinu? So they quote in the drushes of Rav Moshe Feinstein that Avram Avinu was sort of the Rebbe of Sora. He was probably one who got her to be a monotheist, and he got her to be observant, and to be one of the Emois of Klal Yisrael. So the Baruch Hashem told Avram Avinu he should give, Baruch Hashem didn't want to give Tochacha directly to Sora, it'll be too overwhelming. So he requested of Avram Avinu, he should give the Tochacha to Sora. Someone, Sora denies it. Avram Avinu knows that it's true. He heard it from the Rabbi Shalom himself. He says, Lord, ki tzachokta, I know that you did it wrong. But you're permitted to tell Lashon Hara to the Rebbe if you feel that the Rebbe stands a chance of straightening out the Talmud. But you have to be careful. It should be Vayyavi Yosef. It shouldn't be with Guzmos. It should be Dvarim Kavayos. Shouldn't exaggerate. Yeah, next week in Hanukkah, good idea.
He's not allowed to come out the next week's a Hanukkah Shia.
It's Gevalber, no?
Even for those guys,
so sometimes yes, sometimes not.
Yeah, here you even allow Gilead Rice.
Yeah,
you don't allow them to be.